A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spurs in full cry here.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Extra Inch. My name is Windy, and I'm joined on this special episode with Harry Brooks, head coach at Round World Academy. Hello, Harry.
Hello, Chris. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. Good to speak to you, mate. Before I go any further, I've been meaning to say this for a few weeks. Many congratulations to my good friend Nick on the birth of his first child. I wanted to say that because I also congratulated Paul, who's our mutual friend, and I thought Nick might come for me if I didn't do the same for him. So, yeah, all the best to Nick and his family. But first, we're going to talk to Harry about what Round World do. We're going to talk about Spurs' Academy, which we're both interested in, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how Harry got into coaching and whatnot. So, Harry, to start off with, tell us about Round World and what they do and what they aim to achieve.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. So Round World are an independent football academy. And what we are is we basically bridge the gap between grassroots football and professional football. And we do this a number of ways. We train boys from the age of 6 up until about 16 in group training 3 times a week. On average, we push about 6 to 8 players a year into professional clubs to get signed. And we also play regular fixtures versus really high level opposition, specifically professional academies. That can be one-off games. And also we get invited to prestigious international academy tournaments or tournaments in the UK. So in recent years, we've played against the likes of Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Man United, Spurs, Schalke, Elche, and many, many more. So that's basically what we are. That's what we do. And then the director is called Richard Webster. And then also there's lots of different avenues aside from Round World, aside from the actual group training that that we do. So, for example, myself and the director, as well as doing the group training for the boys, we also train academy players that are already at professional clubs and young professionals on an outside basis. We do sessions with them, we do analysis, scouting, so that's what we do, as well as the boys that aren't quite in the academy setup at the moment.
So just as sort of from a practical perspective, this is, I guess this is where parents have identified that they've got a kid who's really, really good at football and they're thinking, OK, there might be something in this. There might be a career for him here. Let's get him into a club. But to do that, they might need to hone some technical skills first. Is that where it starts typically?
Yeah, pretty much. It is quite a high level environment in terms of it's quite intense. So we do welcome everyone, but we are like a training environment. So we're not like a normal son. We're not like a Sunday league team. And then it's players that basically, you know, they just want to push on in football. So for example, a success story for us, the ultimate will be a player that goes on to play professional, represents their country, etc. But then also another success story will be, well, okay, you might not have reached that stage because, you know, that's not many people do, but did you get something out of football thanks to us or with our help? You know, you could have played for the school, for example. That's just as much of a success story. So it is for players that, you know, do love football and care about football. And it's, again, kind of an environment that sort of tends to push players on into professional football clubs generally.
Well, I guess there's an element of just building confidence and fitness and these kind of things, and health and these kind of things as well.
Yeah, there's loads of things to it. It's we try to provide the whole package. We try to help players off the pitch as well as on the pitch as well, provide different opportunities. It's just a little bit more than, well, it's just more than what a Sunday league team would be, for example. So again, that's what we are. We try to bridge the gap between that. It's trying to help prepare players to get into a professional setup. That's generally what we're about. But as we said, if you don't quite reach that stage where you're quite good enough to get into a professional football club, then, you know, we don't turn you away. We still welcome you. And we, as long as you, you know, show the correct attitude and dedication, then we will help you. We'll help you achieve whatever, you know, the maximum of your potential can be. Because obviously we all have different potentials.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. And where is this based, Harry? Are there multiple locations? Is there a particular place?
Yeah, so we're generally based in North London. We train at a few different venues in North London. So on a Wednesday, we're at Woodhouse College. On a Tuesday, we're at Trent Park in Southgate. Thursday, we're at Barnet Power League. And we kind of flip between those three during the week. So every age group trains at least three times a week. We say to players, you don't have to come to every single session. But again, what we're about is we like to pride ourselves on our sort of like, you know, intense training sessions. We do say you should come to at least two. But also the director, who's called Richard Webster, I've got to drop his name in there. He also does stuff in Miami in the US. And we also have links that are far outreach the UK as well. So Round World is kind of like, you know, mostly based in England, in North London. We also do one-to-one sessions, you know, in Essex, that kind of area. That's also a big part of what we do, one-to-one individual training with our players, and as well as Miami, which is we're starting to become more regular in Miami.
Nice one. And you mentioned that your teams participate in tournaments. And I remember, yes, I interviewed John McDermott, who's head of the academy at Spurs. I interviewed him, must be 10 years ago now, a long time ago. But one of the things that he was really keen to impress was how important these international tournaments are for development of young players, and how much they can learn in a very short space of time in an international tournament, which you just wouldn't get in like a year in academy football.
Yeah.
Do you see that as a key part of what Round World do?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of independent academies out there that will push players on into professional clubs and will play fixtures against professional academies, which is fantastic. However, if I'm being completely honest, they don't quite provide the level of opportunities that Round World and Richard Webster and Richard is able to. So for example, due to like, you know, doing a good job obviously, but the links that Richard has and has developed over the years, we do get invited into really prestigious academy tournaments home and abroad, which other independent academies just aren't able to get invited to. You know, we get invited to tournaments that a lot of professional clubs don't get invited to. So, for example, 2 years ago, we went to the Bremen Cup in Germany, obviously, with a group of under-11s, where we played Bayern Munich, Spurs, Schalke. We also played Fulham, FC Porto were there. And that's that's a very prestigious tournament that not every team can get invited to. So we're very proud that we can be the only independent academy that can provide these kind of opportunities.
Nice one. And you've come up against some top players in these tournaments as well.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, no, this was a little bit before I was coaching at Round World. But a few years ago, there was another tournament abroad that Round World went to. Richard took the boys to. I think it was an under 13 tournament. And Fulham played in it. And we played against Harvey Elliott in the semi-final, who happened to score the winner versus us to put Fulham through. I think Harvey Elliott won play of the tournament then. But interestingly, our player actually got the top goal scorer in the tournament, which is a really, really good achievement. Obviously, reaching a semi-final for an independent academy is a massive achievement. And to have a player that got top goal scorer when, you know, the likes of Harvey Elliott are there is really impressive. And that player's actually recently signed for Deportivo La Coruña in Spain. So, no, we're very proud of him.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, Harry, is how the clubs that you work with, how do they feel about you training their players? Do you feel like there's ever a disconnect between the methodologies that you're implementing within these players' training techniques and the club's own methodologies?
You mean obviously the academy players and the young professionals that train on the outside? Yeah,
exactly.
It's kind of a mix. If they're being completely honest, they actually quite like it, because when you're at a club, you don't always have, you know, you'll see a lot of players now, you know, they'll get chastised for not being able to do certain things. But that's because those certain things are never, ever worked on. So how can you expect that from them? And the professional football clubs, they don't always have the time to work on exactly what a player might need. So, for example, we were doing training with a Arsenal right back, called Daniel Oyigoki, who's a very, very talented player. And we've done a session just on his crossing, because he hasn't got the time at Arsenal to work on those individual traits. So those players actually have to go to coaches on the outside to get that training. You know, we've done another session in the Christmas period with a Norwich City striker called Ruben Shackpoke on left foot finishing. So these players have to go to the outside, and the clubs know that and they appreciate that. Actually, you do get the odd ones that say, well, we don't want you to risk getting injured. And, you know, obviously there can be the odd time when we might give certain advice to build a footballer. So, for example, where we will get a player, we care about the player more so than the club. Obviously, that's who we work with. So we want to help give the player the best possible opportunity of having a professional career at whatever level that might be. Obviously, we want him to have the best possible career he can have, but we want to make sure he has at least a professional career. Now, the instruction you give him might not necessarily entail with what the club are looking for. So, you know, clubs can have ideologies, and you can train footballers that necessarily, because we want players to have the best possible opportunity of having a career. So what matters to us is that the player has that career. So it might not necessarily be in tune with what the club are asking for, because the club might be looking to produce players for that club, whereas that might not be the most realistic avenue for the player to have a career. Because if the player, for example, doesn't make it at that club, have they been taught or coached on the other attributes that a game that's needed to make it elsewhere? So we make sure that we provide players with the necessary tools, ideally, to have a professional career. Obviously, but we've got to make sure we work on what the club are asking the player to work on. So, you know, if the club wants the player to work on a certain type of finishing, then obviously we'll do that one as well. So we try to work with the club because they appreciate that, you know, this stuff is needed, but also we make sure that we give the player the necessary tools to have a career.
It's really interesting. And I think, you know, we're a Spurs podcast, so we need to talk about Spurs' academy. You're a Spurs fan too, which helps.
I am indeed, yep.
Let's talk a little bit about Tanganga first, because everyone's talking about him at the moment. And I think, for me, just the fact that he's been involved in the last two games is just a massive boost to the whole academy structure. We've not seen a homegrown player kind of brought through and given those opportunities for a while. So it was a nice boost in that sense. But for me, Tanganga's a player I've liked ever since I first saw him. Is he one that stood out for you?
Most definitely. I remember watching Tanganga for the under-18s a couple of years ago, and he just had that aura about him that looked like a player that was going to really, really push on. I was very surprised that the way his development was catered for with regards to under 23 football. We didn't quite have that smooth transition to under 23s, but back to him, there was an opportunity in pre-season. He performed well, got himself in the fold, and now he's obviously performed good enough in training for Mourinho to give him the chance. So yeah, when I first saw him at under 18s, I did think whether it was going to play for Tottenham or not, I wasn't, you know, you don't know, but I did think that's a player there that's going to have a professional career, most definitely. So I was quite surprised that, that there wasn't a smooth transition into the under 23s, but that happens all the time. But fair play to him. He's turned it back around to play for Tottenham Hotspur. So, you know, he deserves a ton of credit for that.
He does. I agree. And in terms of just generally when a club or a team of coaches in the first team should get a feeling for when a player is ready to be given an opportunity, do you feel, are there any obvious signs from your perspective that a player is at that point where they are ready for an opportunity?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's a lot of different factors that come into it. It's maturity. It's their obviously their quality, whether their attributes can fit into men's first team football straight away, and it's their mentality. And it's like you can tell. So for example, Troy Parrott, he is a man footballer that's been playing academy football for a while. Harvey Elliott, even though he's a tricky winger, people might say that you know, he's a risky player to play, but his mentality and his aura, from everything I've heard about him, and you can clearly see the way he holds himself on a football pitch, he's ready for that. He's mature enough for first team men's football. So you can 100% tell, I think. Obviously, there's no guarantees. There's a risk attached to everything. You know, it might not work, but yes, I do believe that you can tell. These people, you know, people like obviously Jose Mourinho, John McDermott, and elsewhere at different clubs, they've been in the game long enough to know sort of when a player should be ready and when they're not ready. They obviously, because they want to win football games. That's that's the nature, that's what they are. They have to win football games. So if they genuinely believe that a player will help them win a football game, then they'll pick him, even if he is inexperienced. So yeah. Jose Mourinho obviously believed that Tanganga was ready to play against Liverpool. And you could argue, even though they didn't get the results on them, that he was ready. He had a fantastic game against arguably the best forward line in the country. So these people, they do know what they're doing. They've been in the game long enough to know when a player's ready. They won't always get it right, and it will be a lot of the time to the fans' frustrations, but you know, they work with them every single day. They know their mentality, they know their personality, they know their qualities in training every day. So, and again, they want to win football games. If they think he's the best option to win the game, then he'll play him.
That's what I kind of liked about the Tanganga thing, because Mourinho's always had this reputation of treating each game like it's its own standalone game in a way. And he identified the fact that Tanganga's got really good recovery pace and can cover him behind and mop up should Mane threaten on the counter attack. And he did. He did exactly that. He came in. He dropped deep when he needed to. He also had the bravery to carry the ball out from defence a couple of times. And he kept Mane relatively quiet in that game. Yeah. And I hope that Mourinho would appreciate that there are other players in the academy who have skill sets which might be suited to specific games as well. We might see a few more young players get opportunities.
I think so. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know you can't really say too much. You work with Spurs and you've got views on how they manage the academy, and you know, there might be some good things there and there might be some bad things there, so I don't want to put you in a position where I'm asking you too much, but I've had this view for a while that Spurs are really struggling to develop players post scholarship, say post 18. And I think a lot of that is to do with the structure of the what is now the under 23 league, Premier League 2, and how that is utilized by Premier League clubs. So you get a real it's hard to describe, it's like a hodgepodge of players who are in the Premier League 2. Some are players who are just beyond the under 18 league and need a new challenge. Some clubs use it to bring in players who are recuperating from injury. Others use it to give squad players a game. Spurs very much are in the first category, so we tend to keep hold of a lot of our academy scholars and give them 1 year contracts, sometimes 2 year contracts, which means they then stick around for a long time. So we get a lot of players who go up from the under 18s straight into the under 23s and they'll stay there for 2, 3, sometimes even 4 years. And at this point, certainly under Pochettino, we weren't loaning them out. So the 23s were filled with a lot of players who, in my opinion, weren't ready for the first team, probably weren't going to make it at Spurs, but was kind of sticking around. What do you think of the PL2? And is there anything you'd do differently if you could rip up that format and start again?
I kind of agree with you. I think that, you know, when we work with these players, you know, we have conversations with them all the time, obviously, and there are certain targets they have to be hitting. So in terms of, you know, appearances and the age groups they're playing at. So, you know, obviously you might be coaching a player that's an under 16 at a club, for example, and you could be right, well, you've got to be playing regular under 18s. And then by the time you're 17s, you should be in the under 23s squad. If you sort of get to a stage where it's, you know, you're in the under 23s and, you know, you're 20 years old, 21 years old, and you haven't made any first team appearances, then you're kind of struggling and you haven't been developed to play first team football elsewhere, which is the main thing, because you need to make sure, you know, for me again, even though I'm a Spurs fan, if one of my players plays for Spurs, fantastic, but my goal is they have a pro career and they reach their potential. So I think the Premier League 2 could be used as a good format for younger players. But I think if you're 21, 22 and you're still in that environment, then I think that you need to be looking to get out, to be honest, to play first team football before that stage. Obviously, every situation is different. So, you know, I would be looking again if a player hasn't, you know, if there isn't really a pathway for him to play first team football at a club, then you do have to look at sort of, right, well, where can you go to get that exposure and to make sure you have a career. So that's the main thing for me. So I think if you're an older player that's sort of getting stuck in the under 23s or not playing enough first team football, wherever, then you're struggling. So, for example, he'll get a move anyway because he's at Tottenham and he's probably played enough minutes just about and he's good enough. But I think the reason why Cole Walker-Peters has struggled is because he hasn't been exposed to enough football. And I think he was actually quite... I think Spurs should have sent him out on loan 2 or 3 years ago to get that exposure, because then, you know, it's all well and good wanting to keep these players, you know, in the club. Because, again, you've got to look out for the best interest of the club. But I'm more about the best interest of the player. And Kyle Walker-Peters, his best interest were definitely to get first-team football regular 2 or 3 years ago. But it didn't happen. And obviously, we're now in a situation where, you know, Mourinho can't really play him. You know, you can't blame him for not playing Walker, for not playing him. And hopefully he gets a move to a Premier League club and gets first-team football there, because he is a very, very talented footballer. I know you believe that as well. I know you're a big fan of his. So I think every situation is different. But if you are at a certain age and there isn't really a clear pathway for you at that club, you do need to look to get first team football somewhere for your own sake.
Mm. And I think you hit on the crux of the issue, which is you've got the development of the player on one hand and the club having the resource of that player on the other hand. And that's kind of at odds with each other sometimes. So the club will take decisions in the best interest of the club, and rightly so. So if I'm talking about Spurs' academy, the main thing is, for me, I want Spurs to either develop a player for their first team because it will benefit the first team, or I want them to make some money from their sale. But if I'm looking at it from the player's perspective, or even the England team perspective, because we're developing mostly young English players, I'm wanting the player to get out on loan ASAP. I'm wanting them to probably leave Spurs the majority of the time they get to sort of 19-20, because they need to go on and play. And if they're not going to play at Spurs, we need to be somewhere where they'll flourish. So it is quite a challenging one, and sometimes the nuance of that can be lost on Twitter. I get quite a lot of criticism for people will say things like, oh, you just want every academy player to play in the Spurs team. Well, that's not really the case.
I tend to
rate maybe 2 or 3 of each age group. And when I say rate, I mean think could play a game first, or two for the first team. You get the occasional player who you think, they'll go in and they'll be a star, and you kind of have that faith in them that they can really do something. And Tanganga came into that category, to be honest. I thought he had a bit of a couple of years, should we say, where he's sort of looked like he was stagnating a little bit, and he's managed to overcome that. He got his chance in pre-season and then he absolutely took it, and now hopefully he'll go on and flourish, and I really hope that's the case. Are there any other players at Spurs that people wouldn't necessarily know about that you know that stand out to you as having potential?
Yeah, so one of the most creative players that I've ever seen is called Rashaun Mathurin. He's worked with the director, Richard, on a one-to-one basis since he was 6 years old, 6 or 7. And, you know, what we are around world, our ideology is obviously we want to make players, we want to develop all kinds of players, because that's what we need. We need to be able to push players into different environments. But we do like, you know, we do... we are also about creativity and expressing yourself and having a personality on the pitch. And Rashaun definitely fits that category. He can do some incredible things with the football. He's in the he's getting the odd sub. He's getting the odd appearances for the under-18s now, which is good. He's doing really, really well, really well. And I've worked with him quite a few times now as well in the last couple of years. He's a very, very talented player. Another one. This is probably the youngest I can go. We do have younger ones, but the youngest I can go is Alfie Dorrington. You're definitely going to hear about him in the near future. He recently made his England under-15 debut and was captain on his debut. He's a centre-back, and he's a bit of a Rolls Royce of a centre back. You know, I don't want to sound old fashioned, but he's a proper footballer. So he'll be he's a very, very talented player. And I didn't even say Rashaun Mathurin is like a creative wide player. So there are a couple coming through, really, really talented players. And obviously we hope that that they go on and make it. Obviously there's no guarantees in anything, but at Spurs in particular, we do a lot of work with those two. Myself and Richard done a bit of analysis for Terrell Whittaker, who's a very, very sharp shooter. I know you know about Terrell, very sharp shooter, a bit of a fox in the box. Reminds me a bit of Jermaine Defoe, actually, a bit of a snapshot shooter. Doesn't need too long to get himself ready for a shot. And he'll score goals. So he's a very talented player that hopefully we'll be hearing more and more about in the future as well. Max Robson as well. He's a talent. He's a bit of an in-betweener in terms of he's not your typical number 10. He's quite a second striker sort of number 10. So he likes to get into the box and score goals and affect the game. Very hard worker, very smart footballer. So I suppose do have a few players that are coming through that we're aware of. that hopefully we'll hear more and more about of in time.
That's very encouraging. It's good to hear. I don't really go to see the under-18s as much these days, or I've not been in over a year. So it's nice to get an update on where some of the young talents are looking promising. One thing I wanted to ask you, Harry, is something that's always struck me is we tend to develop, and I'll say we, but I mean England, often tend to develop quite one-footed players. How often do players identify like the fact that they might have one particularly weak foot, for example, that they need to work on? I'm thinking of someone like Dele being a prime example.
He
just won't use his left foot. It's just everything's on his right. Every dribble, every touch he takes in a dribble is with his right foot, every shot, every pass. And it kind of narrows his game down. When do clubs and you as a coach kind of identify that someone really does need to work on their weaker foot?
When you get players from a really young age, for example, 6, 7, maybe up to the age of 12, they're very, very moldable. So at those ages, we do a lot of work on, you know, technique, using both feet, basics of football, as well as obviously developing skill and technique. So we coach a lot of players now that are, you could say, almost pretty much completely both footed. And I think that's being recognised as a big thing more and more. In terms of when we're coaching the older players, each player, when it gets to by the age of 12, most of your technical foundation in terms of what you can do with the football should have been built, really, the foundations. You can add to it, obviously. So, for example, if you've got a 15-year-old centre-back that can't quite ping a ball, you can do a lot of work on it and you can improve it. But they'd have to do the extra training, a lot of extra training. But obviously, when you get to sort of like a bit older, there are certain factors you have to accept won't ever, ever be quite as good as people might want it to be. So you've got to really make sure that you minimise those weaknesses and really hone down on the strength. So, for example, if we're training a 17-year-old that really struggles to use his left foot, we would have to we'd have to do work on it because you've got to be at least competent on your weaker foot. You must be at least be able to use it. But obviously, we have to appreciate that that's going to take a lot of work to get him to that stage, and he will never quite be at the level of both-footedness, if for want of a better phrase. So it is important, I think, to have variety to your game. It's really important. Well, no, I don't think I know. Obviously, it's very important to have variety to your game. Dele has gotten away with it because he's so creative and he's so smart in how he picks up space and thinks ahead. So he kind of manipulates himself and the ball to use his right foot. But obviously, now players are becoming a bit smarter to his movements. He's got to be a bit more should we say normal or mature as a footballer, because he still plays a lot of the time like he's a street footballer, which, you know, would be okay if he was constantly producing goals and assists and winning games. But if he's not doing that one, then it can really affect the team, because you see how loose he can be in possession, because, you know, he's not really a great passer of the football. He doesn't use his left foot. He's not particularly fast or strong. We you know, you can see it. And if the player's young enough, we look to develop obviously both feet. But obviously, as I said, when you reach a certain age, you have to accept that they're never going to quite be as good at that one as they are. They've kind of already been built as a footballer, and it's just about making sure that you make them the best version that they can be.
That's really fascinating. I completely appreciate that there's got to be a judgment call of how much time you can put into each part of training a player. So that I get that. Harry, before you go, I wanted to ask you how you got into this, firstly, and then also what a typical day looks like for you nowadays.
Yeah, so I was never quite good enough to make it as a pro, so that's is what it is. It happens. So I actually studied to be a sports journalist. So I got my sports journalism degree, but then I realised that it's not full-time journalism isn't quite what I want to do. So I used to run a Sunday league team that had a couple of really talented players, and I knew someone that worked at something called Round World, obviously what you work for now, but I wasn't quite aware of what they do. And the person that worked there said, no, you've got to take him down to this guy, Richard. It's incredible. And you hear about that kind of thing a lot. Oh, okay, right. Well, you know, I'm sure it's good. So I went down to see it myself. And honestly, the level of the training and the intensity that I saw Richard had put on at Round World was just incredible. For an independent academy that's not a professional academy, it was just, I couldn't believe how driven the players were, you know, and how high the quality was, which it kind of has to be, because even though, you know, as I said, even though we do accept players to come and trial, you know, we are quite a high level environment. So if you're not quite at the level, then you'll kind of naturally sort of leave anyway, because you can't really cope with the intensity or the quality. I just literally went to observe those sessions, just watch for about a month. I got to know Richard, and then sort of worked with him from then on. So, you know, and since I've been at Round World, he's provided me and, you know, his players another cadre with incredible opportunities. So a really interesting one is that he's got really, really strong links with Palmeiras in Brazil, who are by far the best academy I've ever seen in terms of the level of the players and their ideology. And he's actually, his really strong links has managed to get Palmeiras invited to the last three Barclays Premier League Academy tournaments, which are really prestigious tournaments. And he's managed to get the Palmeiras, the first ever Brazilian team, invited to those tournaments. And I was really lucky enough to go to the last one, which was an under 16 tournament. And that was really, really interesting. It was fascinating to see how Palmeiras work, and the level of the players was just incredible. So yeah, that's kind of how I got involved, and those are kind of the opportunities. You know, I can say I've coached against Bayern Munich, I coach, you know, young professionals and academy players, and you know, we push players into clubs to get signed. So that's kind of what Round World is. And again, like I said, if you aren't quite at the level to play for an academy, okay, never mind, we'll still help you achieve your dream, as long as you are dedicated and you want to work and you want to push on. In terms of what a normal day looks like, it's crazy busy. I do probably on average about 15 one-to-ones a week, varying ages, varying abilities, varying levels. You know, I've got, you know, clients as young as 6, and obviously young professionals who I train as well when they've got time. I'm at Round World doing group training pretty much every day of the week, apart from Sunday. That's the only day we don't have group training. And then also professional playing fixtures versus professional academy. So, you know, we've got a game versus Barnet Academy this Sunday. And we've got some other ones coming up. So it's very, very busy. There's also other parts to it. So a lot of the, as I said, a lot of the academy players and young pros that we work with, you know, we'll go to watch their games. You know, we'll give them scout reports, analysis reports. We'll get nutritionists involved to give them diet plans. We really give the necessary care needed for the players to make it, which we pride ourselves on. When we work with you, we really, really want to work with you. So it's very, very busy, but you know, it's football. I can't complain. What a life.
It sounds wonderful. And if someone were to want to get involved in something like this, what would your advice be? Is it a case of just get your badges and then and go from there?
In terms of coaching?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Get your badges, get your level one. That, you know, every coach has to have at least their level one. If you want to coach, if your ambition is to coach for a professional academy or manage a team, then you'll need your UEFAs. That's not my personal ambition. I don't want to work for a professional academy. I prefer to work where we can do it how we believe it should be done. And we have quite a good record, as I said, of pushing players on of all positions, all levels, all different types, what I should say, into different clubs. But if you did want to do that, you need to get your UEFAs. But if you wanted to be an independent academy coach, get your level one and go from there.
So it's not something, it's not completely unachievable. Anyone who's, you know, got general understanding of football and fitness could do this. They could, you know, look on the FA website today and make it happen, basically.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it is possible in terms of, like, you know, the level of the opportunities that Round World provide. I would say that that's very unlikely that other independent academies can provide that. And again, because of the links that Richard has and the work and the links that Richard has done over many years. So that takes a long, long time to be able to get those relationships with clubs like Palmeiras and, you know, out in Miami and, you know, Man United, etc. But in terms of, you know, you can train these players. You can work hard and you know, try to develop a reputation where you get these fixtures and you push players on. There's a lot of people out there that do that. We like to think that we can provide obviously more than what most can, but obviously, you know, there's more than enough out there for everyone. And you know, if it, you know, this it's more than achievable, definitely.
Nice one. And before you go, Harry, just give us your Twitter handle and tell people where they can read more about Round World if they want to.
So my Twitter handle is HB_headcoach. If you want to find more about Round World, we do have an Instagram page, Round World_FA. We do have a website, but it's under works, so I wouldn't recommend to do that one. But if people are interested in it, they can obviously just send me a message or look at the page and go from there. We're happy to welcome anyone to come along and give it a go.
Nice one, Harry. Thank you very much. And I can vouch for Harry being a great follower on Twitter. He's very interesting. Always got something interesting to say about a player, although he's a little bit too obsessed with Etienne Capoue for my liking.
You've been listening to The Extra Inch. Thanks to Nathan A. Clark for production. Thanks to Barney for being Italian. Thanks to Adam Gardner for the artwork. Thanks to David Lindner for our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at Davey Shambles and SoundCloud D. Lindner. Do check him out. He's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us via podcast@theextrainch.co.uk and subscribe via your usual podcast platforms. And if you do enjoy the podcast, consider leaving us a rating and review. That would really help.